Go to Hebrews chapter number 11, if you brought your Bible. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we're going to go through two verses, the last two verses of Hebrews chapter number 11. And if you kind of, while you're turning there, I'll give you the context of this. You might remember that Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. You remember it goes through a list of many of the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11 and says, by faith Noah, by faith Abel, by faith Abraham, you know, by faith Sarah, by faith. And it lists what different ones in the Old Testament did in obedience to the plan of God and obedience to what God said to them and the marvelous things that came out of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You want to live the most exciting life you can live? First of all, you got to say yes. I said, do you want to live the most exciting life you can live?
Yes.
That's the life of faith. That's the life of faith. So these individuals are in this chapter, and of course there are many others, but Hebrews 11, verse number 39 through 40, sort of wrapped this chapter up. And this came to me the other day, Hebrews 11, 39 through 40. It says, all these, now the context is all those Old Testament saints that I just referred to a few of them, these all, having obtained a good report through faith. The word good report means they were highly reputed for one thing. They were reputed or recognized by God or honored by God for one thing, their faith. How many of you know the world highly values people for different things?
Yes.
All these sorts of things, good looks, right. Sports ability, right? Whatever. Yeah. The world values people for certain things. But God sees things totally different.
Yes,
he sees things totally different. What he looks at people and says, ah, look, that's awesome right there.
Yes.
And that's faith.
People
that believe him, people that take him at his word and act on his word, believing what he said, by faith. So by faith, all these men, they did this. By faith, they did that, or women too. And they obtained a good report. They obtained this reputation in the eyes of God. They did it through faith. All these Old Testament saints that did that, they received not the promise. Look at that. They received not the promise. Now notice that's singular. Singular, not the promises, plural. Although in one sense that's true, but we'll get to that in a minute. They received not the promise. And that's referring to the promised one. If you go back to, then, and of course that's Jesus, but if you go back to the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned, and God came and said, where art thou? And he wanted the fellowship with them. He said to Adam and Eve, where art thou? And they said, we hid ourselves because, you know, we were naked and, you know, we knew we were naked. And they had been clothed with the glory of God, but now they lost the glory. And how many of you know all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God Jesus brought us back to that, by the way. But they said we were naked, we hid ourselves. And Jesus, or God said, hast thou, you know, eaten of the fruit? And Adam said, well, it was my wife, you know. That's one of the first things that showed up whenever sin, the fallen nature showed up in man, is blaming other people. Whenever God asked Eve about it, she said, it was the snake. Nobody wanted to take responsibility. I could get off on that, but I better not. But they had sinned, of course. And the Bible says that God spoke to Adam, God spoke to Eve and said certain things, now they're going to happen. And then he spoke to the enemy. It was the snake, but it was really Satan through the snake. He said, there's one coming that you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. Now, you know what that is. That's a good swift kick in the head. Boom. That bruised Jesus' heel, but it really messed the devil up.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Amen. And we could talk about what happened whenever Jesus died and he went into hell and defeated the enemy. Yeah. But we don't have time for that, getting to this today. But anyway, that was a prophecy. That was the first thing that God started talking about right after the fall. He said, there's one coming.
Right. Yes.
And then we get over into Abraham's case. And on the mountain, whenever he said, because God said to Abraham, go up and offer Isaac, you remember. And so he took up Isaac he said, Isaac eventually said to Abraham, here's the wood and the fire, but we don't have the sacrifice. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice.
Yes.
And they get up there, and you remember he bound Isaac and put him on the altar, and he had the knife up ready to offer his son, but God stopped him. The angel stopped him. Remember that?
Right.
And said, Abraham, Abraham, don't hurt your son, so forth and so on. And then you remember Abraham turned and looked and saw a ram caught in the thicket and offered it instead of his son.
That's right.
Exactly what Abraham said by faith came to pass. God will provide himself. Come on, somebody. A sacrifice. But then you come over into the New Testament and Jesus said this, Abraham, John something, I'd have to look it up, I got it in my notes. But Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it and was glad.
Yes.
I believe that verse is saying, amongst others, there's others in Hebrews that say some of the same things, that God gave Abraham revelation knowledge. He either knew something or saw into the Spirit, and he saw that the covenant God that he had gone into covenant with, who asked him to offer, Abraham to offer his son, was going to, because of covenant now, come and offer his son. And if you read it, Abraham offered Isaac, or was going to, of course, he got stopped, on the mountains of Moriah, and the Mount Calvary is on those. Calvary is on the mountains of Moriah.
Yeah.
I believe Abraham saw the Messiah coming right there on the mountain when he turned and looked at the ram. I think he saw a ram and then he had a vision of the Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
and so the promise kept coming. He's coming. He's coming. And then we get over into David's, the history of David and him being raised up. And then God speaking to David and said, after your seed is one coming who will be king forever. He will rule the nations forever. Amen. And so the Messiah kept being promised. And we could go to many other scriptures. And the promised Messiah, the one who was promised to come, had not come when all those Old Testament saints that we just read in Hebrews or referred to in Hebrews 11, whenever they died, it says, look at that verse again. It says, look at this. These all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The promise was the promised one. He had not yet come. So don't think, I'm standing on the Word of God and I don't want to die. That verse says I might die before I get it. That's not what he's talking about.
Right.
That's not what he's talking about. And we'll see that as we go. They receive not the promise or the promised one. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Look at that. God has provided something better for us than those Old Testament saints.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Now,
amen.
We know what the Bible says. Can you stick with me this morning? Yeah. This is going to get clearer and clearer as we go. And I warn you ahead of time, if you don't shout, I might, all right?
So. We're with you.
But as we go through here, you'll see very clearly from other scriptures as well, God having provided something better or some better thing for us. Now, we know we have a better covenant, right? We know that Jesus has now come. The promised one has now come.
Right.
But what did the promised one do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's much bigger than you can share in a few minutes. But of course, we know he redeemed us and so forth. We know he shed his blood. He was the final sacrifice. We know a lot of things about what he did. But let me just ask you, in the context of this passage, what is the better thing for us? Go to the here in the 13th verse of Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 13. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 13. I got to turn to it myself. Are you still with me today? Because we're going to get into something that's very, very clear here as we go. Hebrews 11, verse number 13. Through faith also, no, that's verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. Look at that. Not having received, now here it says promises, plural. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, here it says promises, plural. But then it ends up in the 39th and 40th verses saying the promised one. So you put those two things together, we have something better than what they had. The promised one had not come. But what did Jesus come to do? Like I said, there's a lot of things he came to do, redeem us, shed his blood, you know, all those things. There's so much more than you can talk about. But in the context of what he's saying here, what did Jesus come to do?
Yeah.
He came to give us something better than what they had.
Yes.
What did they have? They had promises. We have something better than promises.
Yes. That's
right.
I said, we have something better than promises. Amen. Their faith was different from ours in one respect. That is, they were looking forward to the fulfillment of the promise. Now, the promised one was going to fulfill all the promises.
Yes, that's right. That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
To where they're no longer promises. They are fulfillments.
Yes. Amen.
The Old Testament people had a promissory note on all the blessings of God. They could get in on, like, let's take healing, for example. The Bible says he'll take sickness away from the midst of you, the number of your days you'll fulfill. That's Old Testament. He will take sicknesses away. The Bible in the New Testament does not say he will take sicknesses away from you and fulfill the number of your days. The New Testament says by his stripes you were healed. They were looking forward to, remember whenever they were bitten by the snakes, and this is the 22nd or 23rd chapter, I think it's the 23rd chapter of Numbers, they were bitten by the snakes. God said to Moses, put a serpent on a serpent of brass on a pole, whoever looks on him shall live. You come to the New Testament, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. They were looking forward. When they looked at that serpent on the pole, they were putting faith in the one who was going to come and redeem them from sickness. We don't look forward to the one who came to redeem us from sickness. We look back and we read in our covenant. We read in the words written to us, by his stripes we were healed. We have something better than a promise to do it in the future. We have, it's already done. Hallelujah. Woo! So they, by faith, their faith is different from ours in one respect. They were looking forward to the fulfillment of the promises while we look back at the finished work. Through what Jesus did on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so the promised one, remember it says in the 39th and 40th verses, the promise was the promised one.
Yes.
Promised in many ways in the Old Testament that he was coming. But he came to give us something better than promises. We have fulfillments. We have fulfillment. So the promised one that was to come, he would fulfill the Old Testament promises and bring, listen to me, redemptive realities.
Yes.
Yes.
Realities. Now, this is where a term came from that you might have heard that has become popular in the body of Christ, certain segments of the body of Christ, and that is what we call the in Christ realities. not the in Christ promises. In Christ realities. In Christ fulfillments.
Yes.
I'm just praying that God would heal me. See, you and God are zigging and zagging.
That's
it. You're missing God. He's not gonna heal you.
Right. That's right.
What? Pastor, did you say that? Yeah, I said that. He's not gonna heal you. He already has.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
New Testament believers have to have a paradigm shift in their thinking. How much time can I take on this? there are things today. Okay, let me say it this way. Go over to, well, I'm trying to save some time here. You don't have 3 hours today. Let's put it this way. Emphasize the scriptures that are written to you. As a New Testament believer, there are scriptures that are written specifically to you. There are scriptures that are written for you and for your learning. Are you still out there? But they're not necessarily written to you. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Jay, that just sounds like heresy. Well, let's just go back to the Old Testament and take some of the things God said about how to offer a bullock and how to offer this sacrifice and that sacrifice. That's not written to you under the new covenant.
Thank you. Thank you. That's so good.
That's an old covenant which God himself, if you look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7 and 11, said that those things have passed away. There are things in the Bible that are not written to you.
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Now that sounds like heresy to some people, but just take for example, the Old Testament instructions about worship.
Oh yeah. Come on. Yeah.
You had to come to the temple and so forth and so on. Yeah. Today, remember Jesus said whenever he met the woman at the well, John 4, he said, for example, because the woman at the well said, who's right? You know, us Syrophoenicians or you Jews? Because we Syrophoenicians say you worship on this mountain. You say worship at the temple. Who's right? And Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is that they that worship should not worship, you know, someplace naturally, but in spirit and in truth. So those Old Testament scriptures about going to the temple to worship, they're not written to you.
Not to us, no. Not under this covenant.
Right? There are things that Jesus said were passing away and things that were coming to pass.
Yes, there you go.
Like, for example, he said concerning prayer in John chapter number 16. He said, you used to say to me, pray the Father to give us this and that. He said, the time is coming to where you'll not ask me to pray. He said, but you yourself will pray because the Father loves you.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And things from the Old Testament have changed when you come into the New Testament. And the church world a lot of times has failed because they're basing their faith or their prayer life or their, what they do spiritually on something that wasn't written to them. Now, look at a verse. If you have your Bible there, look at this verse. This is in 1 Corinthians 10:32. God recognizes three groups of people according to this verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So there's three groups of people in God's mind. The Jews, the Gentiles. Now the Jews are God's covenant people from the Old Testament. Then he said the Gentiles have never had a covenant with God. Well, God invited them into one in the New Testament, but you know what I mean. They're another word for those are the nations. They're the people that are without, remember the New Testament says, without hope and without God in the world, having no covenant, right? So we've got the nations, and that was you and me, most of us were not Jews, we were Gentiles. Most of us, maybe some of us were Jew, then he said, the church of God. The church of God. Now, there are scriptures that are written to the Jews that don't have anything to do with us today.
Right.
There are scriptures that are written to the nations.
Yes.
that don't have anything to do with us. You know, you see some fiery indignation written to the nations of what's coming to the nations. That's not for you. Not written to you. And then there are scriptures written to the church. Which scriptures should you and I be emphasizing? Now, I didn't say we should not ever read the other scriptures. That's not what I said. But which scriptures should we be emphasizing? Go ahead. You can say it. The ones written to the church. Amen. The New Testament epistles are the part of the Bible that's written to you.
Yes. Yes.
As a member of the church. Now, there are parts of the Bible that are not written to you, but the Bible says they are for you.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 10:11, all these things happened, talking about the Old Testament experiences they had in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happened unto them for in samples, we'd say examples, and they are written for our admonition.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're written for us. We learn from that, but they're not written to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on.
Amen. The Bible itself says, like I said, this is just two verses, real simple verses, 2 Corinthians 3, 7, and 9. I think 7, 11. I think I said another scripture earlier. 1 Corinthians 3, 7, 11, that some things in the Old Testament have passed away.
Right.
Not the blessing. But some things have passed away.
Right.
That's right.
Some people are getting a little nervous right now.
No.
You can feel them. But this will fix a lot of the problems in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And it'll fix your prayer life.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
And so there are some parts that have already been fulfilled.
Yes.
Some part of the scriptures have already been fulfilled. And some parts are only types and shadows.
Yeah.
Right? Some of many types and shadows in the Old Testament. Well, which would be better, the type and the shadow, or the fulfillment of the type and shadow?
Fulfillment.
The fulfillment. That's what the New Testament is.
Right. Glory to God.
That's what the New Testament is.
Yes, sir.
I got to say that again. That's what the New Testament is. It's the fulfillment of so many things in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I offered you the shadow of a hamburger and a hamburger, which one do you want? When you're hungry, do you reach for that shadow right beside it?
No.
Right? So in the New Testament, we have fulfillments. Wouldn't it make sense to emphasize the parts that are written to us? The parts that show us the fulfillment of everything that was foreseen and prophesied and promised?
Absolutely.
Amen. That would especially be the epistles. Amen. Now, I'm not saying it's not the Gospels, but let me say something about the Gospels. Redemption had not been accomplished until Jesus' blood was shed.
Right.
Now, not everything, but some things. Now, don't misunderstand me. You could really get mad at me for this, but don't get mad until you hear me out, right?
Yeah.
Some things are in the Gospels are still for people that are not the church.
Thank you.
You know the word church is mentioned over 115 times in the New Testament and only twice in the Gospels? Twice. And Jesus referred to the church twice in the Gospels, but he was always talking about what's coming after his death. There is no church in the Gospels. The Gospels are, let me say it this way. We see the Gospels. We see Jesus being born of a virgin. We see him growing up and the anointing coming on him, ministering, healing, ministering to the needs of the people, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. How many of you know the kingdom had not come yet, but it was coming?
Yes. Right. Yes, sir.
Jesus shed his blood, and now we're in the kingdom.
Right.
And the kingdom's in us, right? But he preached the kingdom's coming. He preached so many things. And then we know he died and was buried and raised again. We have all that recorded in the Gospels.
Yes, sir.
But you don't see what really happened in the Gospels. I'll clarify it in a minute what I mean. You don't see what really happened in the Gospels until you come over into the epistles.
Right.
I like to say it this way. The Gospels are a photograph. Let's take the death, burial, and resurrection itself. The Gospels are a photograph of redemption.
Right.
The epistles are an x-ray into redemption. They go deeper and show you what really happened. In the Gospels, you see him being raised up on the cross. In the Gospels, you see the crown of thorns. In the Gospels, you see the spear in his side, the nails in his hands. You see it all from a natural viewpoint. But in the epistles, it shows us what happened. That he was bearing our sins. That if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. That we were with him in the death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't just Jesus dying. You know, as a martyr or something. It was him taking our sin. And by those stripes, we were healed.
Yeah, glory to God.
You don't see that until you get over. You don't see it very clearly until you get over into the Gospels.
Yes,
an x-ray looks beyond the surface of the skin and finds out what's really going on down in there.
Yes.
And that's what the epistles are. They're an x-ray into what really happened in the Gospels. So I'm not saying don't read the Gospels.
Right.
I read them all the time. I quote them. And I'll probably quote them today. I probably already did, really. I'm not saying don't read it. I'm just simply saying emphasize the epistles.
That's so good, Pastor.
Because the church came into being through the shed blood of Jesus, and then whenever Jesus appeared and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," and breathed on them, the church was born. Then they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and now here's the church.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the church.
Yes.
And the Gospels don't show you, but the epistles in Ephesians 1 and 2 and many other places say that not only was he buried, but you were buried with him. Not only was he raised, you were raised with him. Not only was he seated, you were seated with him. You don't see that in the Gospels. You see Jesus being buried. You see him being crucified. You see him being raised from the dead and being ascended up and sitting at the right hand of the Father. But you don't see us until you get to the epistles.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? So there are parts that were written to you. There are parts that are written for you. Find out from the epistles, which are written to you, what the Bible says about Jesus' redemption and what he did, and then also what it says that means to you. Find out what it says about who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ. And you'll find that out from the part of the Bible written to you.
Amen.
Now, when you find out who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ, that'll change several things. It'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you talk. Amen. And it's called the transformed life. Praise the Lord. And a lot of things that you've been praying about, you'll stop praying about.
Come on.
Boy, he's really strange today. He's telling us not to pray, not to read our Bible.
No. I
didn't say that. No, I'm saying whenever I say there's a lot of things you won't pray about anymore, like take, for example, praying that God would, this is just an illustration for many of us to know, praying that God would heal us. When you get your mind renewed with the New Testament epistles, you'll stop praying that God would heal you. Your request for God to fulfill what you think in your mind is a promise to heal, well, it'll stop.
That's right.
That request will stop because you'll discover I was healed because we were healed.
Right.
Come on. Amen.
You know, whenever somebody promises, let's say I promise to do something for you. You know that's something I am going to do in the future. It's not something I've already done. Can you see the difference from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Praise the Lord. Many Christians are asking for God to do something that he said he already did.
Come on.
You're no longer trying to get things or become things or attain to positions that he said you already have gotten, that you already are, and that you've already obtained. Amen. What would you think of a guy that he's obviously a guy, but he keeps saying, I'm going to become a man. I'm going to become a man. Dude, you are a man. John Wayne Swift kick in the butt. You are.
Yes.
You are. Walk like John Wayne. Right? Amen. We could go somewhere with that. But anyway. When you read the epistles, your prayer life changes from praying for God to do certain things to praying that, Ephesians 1, the eyes of my understanding be enlightened.
Yes. Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Still glad you came this morning?
Yes.
So much of the church's ineffectiveness in prayer is because they're standing on scriptures that are not written to the church.
Yeah.
And so when you and I became a part of the body of Christ, we're neither Jew nor Gentile. I've heard Christians make much of the fact that they were a Jew that got saved and received the Messiah. Sweetheart, you're not a Jew anymore. What would you think if I keep talking about as a member of the body of Christ, I'm a Gentile, I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Gentile anymore. And you're not a Jew anymore.
That's right.
Come on now.
Okay, some of you don't like it. Amen. We're born again children of God.
Yes.
We're in a totally different group than Jew or Gentile. Amen. And so there's many things written in the Gospels that you have to run through the cross. There's many things written in the Old Testament you have to run through the cross. Now, I didn't say don't read the Old Testament or don't read the Gospels. I'm saying let what you learn in the epistles inform you about what you read in the Gospels and inform you about what you read in the Old Testament. When you see types and shadows in the Old Testament, don't say, well, we got to go back there and do all that because that's a type of shadow. What that's a type and shadow of has been fulfilled over here where you're living in the epistles. Hallelujah. Now, don't misunderstand me. You hear this. I don't know if that's the air conditioner or what that is. But you hear this and you think I'm saying there are no promises in the New Testament. That's not true either. That we do have some promises in the New Testament. Jesus has promised to come again and receive us unto himself, right? That has not been fulfilled yet, right? There are promises that, like we have a promise of the crown of life, right? Right? And so there are things that are promised in the New Testament. But I'm talking about these things that were promised to come in the area of redemption.
Yes.
They've all been fulfilled. Hallelujah. And so when you study the Bible, and this is something that I've seen in the church world as a whole, when you study the Bible, let's take praise and worship. Don't emphasize the Old Testament. Emphasize the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
When you talk about prayer, don't emphasize the Old Testament. Emphasize the New Testament. It's amazing how people want to go back under the Old Testament and pray something under the Old Testament. Whenever you read the New Testament, you're not instructed to pray about
that's
that.
That's right. That's right. That's good.
Amen. Yeah. And so there are things written to us. Pray in the light of the epistles. Praying in the light of the epistles is informed prayer.
Right.
It's praying with knowledge. Right. It's praying from a place of revelation.
Yes.
Amen. And so this is something that I want to spend some time on. Now, go back here to a verse that will help you a lot with this. Go to 2 Corinthians together with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 20. There's many in the body of Christ who think and believe that if something hasn't happened yet, that for some reason or another, it's because God has either put a no on that blessing or he's putting them off into the future. But look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. This is because of what Jesus did on the cross. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God, all of them, all the promises of God in him, Our promise of God in him are yea. Does anybody have a translation that says something different than yea?
Yes.
All the promises of God in him, that's in Christ, are yes. And in him, even something more than yes.
Yes, come on.
Amen. They are amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. You read the book of Revelation and you'll find that Jesus revealed himself as the Amen.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he did. Go back there. He talks about he that was dead and was alive and is alive forevermore. And he said a lot of things there when he revealed himself to John on the Isle of Patmos, but he also revealed himself as the Amen.
Amen.
Well, what does Amen mean? Look it up. It means so be it. So all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, so be it unto the glory of God by us. Woo! Hallelujah. In Christ, and by the way, you are in Christ. That's something different than the Old Testament. A lot of things different from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, nobody had the Holy Ghost except the prophet, priest, or king, or somebody God wanted to use in a certain situation. But we all today have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. We're all temples of the Holy Ghost. Right? So many things different. But here he said, in Christ, all the promises, you could say, have become be-its. You don't have a promise for God to deliver you. Well, I do. No, you don't. You have a promise that he has already. Not a promise. You have the statement that he has already delivered you. Remember Colossians 1, 11, 12, 13, down through there? Who hath.
Yes.
Hath means has already.
Amen.
Well, God's going to deliver me. No, he's not. He's done everything he's going to do about delivering you.
That's right.
He has already delivered you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, what about blessing? God's going to bless you. No, he's not. He already has. Ephesians 1:3. He hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Well, he's going to give me the joy of the Lord back. He already did. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace.
That's right.
You already have it.
That's right.
Glory to God.
And you could go on and on and on. But all the promises have become be-its. In other words, they've been fulfilled. It's so in you now. Now, if you don't have the Amplified Classic on this verse, let's read it together, and you'll get a hold of this after reading this. This is powerful. 2 Corinthians 1, this is 19 and 20 here in the Amplified Classic. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, to Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it is always the divine yes.
Divine yes.
Come on.
Everything God promised in the Old Testament, God's answer for you today concerning that is yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Everything he promised that was coming concerning the Messiah and the redemption and all that. Now get this. Keep on reading. Notice the divine yes. Now, somebody else might give you a human no. But don't take somebody's human no when God has already given you a yes. The doctors can say no. You've only got 6 months. And God can say, but God's word says, yes, by my stripes you were healed.
Hallelujah.
No man's no can change God's divine yes. You just have to decide, am I going to accept man's no, or am I going to hold to God's yes?
Yeah, there
you go. That's the 19th verse. Now look at verse number 20. As many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, in Christ. All of them. Now notice, keep on reading. For this reason, we also utter the Amen.
Yes, we do. Yes, come on.
The so be it. To God, through him, in other words, Jesus, in his person, and by his agency to the glory of God. And so, boy, there's so much here. You could take a long time on this, but Jesus' work of redemption turns the promised blessings into now it's done. Now it's done. I can tell some of our minds are going, I'm trying to get a hold of it. You don't get it with your mind. You get it with your heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So the things that the promised are now secured in Christ's work. Right? His work on the cross. They're no longer promises. They became realities. We call them in Christ realities. And so he made what was promised so. There's no promise today of healing for you. It is already so. Hallelujah. So there's no, he's not going to bless you. He already has. He's not going to heal you. He already has. He's not going to deliver you. You are already delivered from the authority of darkness. You're not going to get free. You're free now. You're not going to get the victory. You're not going to get peace. You're not going to get supply. You're not, listen to me, you're not going to be something. You don't need to become something you already are.
Right.
How did you become a man or a woman? You were born that way. How'd you become free? How'd you become healed? How'd you become redeemed? How'd you become free from your past? Being born again. You were born that way. You don't have to do anything to become those things today. You just have to accept what he already said you are.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. Now, here he said, you add your amen to what he said he has done. You saw that? He said, we add the amen. And so God has said yes to the redemptive realities. But his yes made it so for you, but you have to agree with them. If God said you're healed and you say, I'm trying to get God to heal me, well, you're not in agreement. You're not amening what God said. You're amening what you see.
Oh, there you go. That's good, Pastor.
You're saying what you see. When you understand so many things like I'm talking about in redemption, you stop praying for God to do something, and your prayer time becomes a time of thanksgiving. There's a shift that takes place in your prayer time, and you begin to agree with what he said is yours, and you begin to thank him, and then you do something else, which has created people in the body of Christ. They have small wars over this statement, but it talks about Abraham. It says when God came on the scene and said, you are no longer Abram, but Abraham, because that means in the Hebrew literally, a father of a multitude have I made thee.
Right.
God said that to him when he didn't have any children. And he said that to him whenever Sarah never in her younger age been able to have children.
True.
God came to a man who was impotent, either he or his wife impotent, and he said, you're a daddy. You're a father of a multitude. Remember, at first they laughed. They laughed. They didn't agree with that. But you come over into Romans and you'll find out that Abraham, we know it from the Old Testament too, but you kind of, Romans chapter number 4, it says that Abraham believed God and called things that be not as though they were. When you read the New Testament realities, you begin to worship for what he said is true, and you begin to call what he said is true, even though it doesn't seem to be true, you begin to say it about yourself. And that's what your prayer time is all about. Father, I want to thank you that you took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And by doing that, you healed me. I'm healed now. See, you have to get to the place. You have to ask yourself the question, when is this going to be so? When is this? When you're praying about something, ask yourself the question according to the Bible. Don't answer it with your own mind. Answer it according to the Bible. When is this going to be so? It's already so. Your faith is not, your job is not to try to twist God's arm, get him to do it. Your faith is to receive what has already been done.
Yes, praise God.
Woo, glory to God. And so many Old Testament promises have been fulfilled. In other words, they're turned into realities. Now, you remember, listen to Romans 15:8. I got to wrap this up here. Romans 15:8. It says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, look at this, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. To confirm the promises. Vines says, that's a Greek help study, Vines dictionary says, of biblical words, it says, to confirm, this word is found frequently in the papyri. Now, that's the ancient writings on those old style paper. The ancient writings use this word here, confirmed, referring to a settlement of a business transaction.
Well.
The other day, I posted something on Facebook to sell, Facebook Marketplace. And no, you can't find it because you don't even know my name on Facebook. something like Bubba Jones and something really strange like that, and it's not Bubba Jones. But anyway, I posted it on Facebook, and people began to respond. You know, they're asking questions, so forth. And one guy said, "Well, I want this part of it, and I'll come back later and I'll pay." Well, that's a promise, right? That's promise of something to come. He's going to buy it from me, he said. But see, it's not settled yet.
Right.
See, it's not settled. It's not settled until he hands me the money.
Exactly.
Right? Now, when he hands me the money, that settles it.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
Right? Now, he can come pick it up anytime. Why? Because it's now already his.
Yes.
Payment has been made. And that's what this Greek word confirmed, the promises. The word confirmed means that it's finished because payment has been made. The transaction has been settled. The deal's done. Hallelujah. All that's left now is to take it home. Right? Now, John 19:30, on the cross, Jesus, right before Jesus died, he received the vinegar, and it says, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's that same Greek word translated confirm, and it means, it's something that they would say in the marketplaces. Like if you go, let's say, you know, because here in a month or maybe it's already soon starting, there'll be marketplaces, farmers market and stuff. You maybe want to go buy your groceries, fresh groceries, strawberries or something, you know. When that transaction happens, there's two sides to it. The person offering the strawberries or the vegetables, right? And there's you coming to receive the strawberries or whatever. Now, there's two sides, and there's two things each person does. The person offering the strawberries, let's say, they are bringing the strawberries, offering them, and then they are receiving your payment. On the other side, you are receiving, giving the payment and receiving the strawberries. So on both sides, there's giving and receiving. Right? That's what happens in the marketplace. And whenever that transaction has been done, now it is finished.
Right?
Amen. I said right?
Yes, sir.
And so when it comes to the things of God, you know what the throne of grace is. It's the getting place. I said it's a getting place, a little like the marketplace, except at the throne of grace, you don't make payment for it. Payment has already been made. You just need to check out what's already offered.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And this is how you check out. This is how you go to the checkout stand of the throne of grace. You say, "I believe that I receive. It's mine now."
That's
right.
Thank you.
That's totally different than God, please. Please. Amen. How many of you know the blood has already paid for everything that is in redemption?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But did you know Hebrews 12:24 says the blood is saying something? The blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel, it says. The blood is saying something. You know what it's saying?
Yeah.
It is finished.
It's finished.
It's saying the same thing Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. Redemption is finished.
Yeah.
The price has been paid.
Glory.
Hallelujah. But how many of you know you can't get what the blood has provided by saying something different than the blood?
Thank you.
Come on now.
You can't say, "I need it, Lord. Do it for me, Lord. Give it to me, Lord." Whenever the blood said, "It is finished. It is yours. It's provided. It's laid up."
Yes.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so say what the blood says. Agree with what the blood says. Agree with what the New Testament says. Hallelujah. As I've... the statement, "It is finished," it's common, like I said, but the price required to be paid to secure all God's promised blessings has already been paid in full.
Yes, it has.
That's already paid. Jesus' blood paid for it. Now, think about it this way. You remember in the book of Romans 8:17, it says, "We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ."
Yes.
Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So, if we're a joint heir, that means everything that was put to Jesus' account is in your account too.
That's right?
Yes.
If we have a joint checking account, me and my wife, of course, we have a joint checking account. That means her or I have access, free access to everything that's in that account.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So if my wife needs some money that I put in there, and she comes asking me for money. She don't need to come ask me for money. It's already in our account, hers and mine. Right? She just has to make a withdrawal. She doesn't need to ask me to do anything. Amen. That's what happened whenever Jesus purchased everything for you and fulfilled it all. Yes. He put it in your account.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If I put $100,000 in your account, bank account, and you're late on your house payment, and you come to me and say, would you help me? Would you do this for me? How many of you know you haven't yet believed that that money is in your account? Either you don't know it, number one,
right,
or you haven't believed it.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Do you know when you come and ask me to help you, you and I are on two different pages?
Totally. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I don't need to do that.
Yeah. Right.
I already did.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, that's good.
Some of you are thinking about that.
That's good.
That's exactly the way this is.
Yes.
I said, that's exactly the way this is. But prayer, for a lot of people, is asking God to do something that he already put in their account.
Right.
Right. Hallelujah. It's a renewing of the mind.
Yes.
Right? I remember, I'll wrap up this service with this. I remember, I'll give you another illustration. You might have heard me say this, give this illustration before, but you've eaten T-bone steak before too, right? And you'd eat it again if I offered one for lunch.
Yeah. Yep.
See, the Word of God's different than just putting it to memory. It's feeding our spirits with it. My mother-in-law told me this. She lives with us now. Some of you met her. She's been here. But she told me one day, she just out of the blue told me this story. I never heard her tell this story. And she said she was in Walmart one day and getting some things. And she said while she was there, they came over the PA system, you know, and announced, we're getting ready to test the fire alarm. But just know it's just a test. There's no alarm. There's no fire. We're just testing our system, make sure everything's working right. Of course, everybody's in the Walmart. They all hear that, and so that's fine, good, all right. But I guess in the process of getting the, you know, test set up to get it all ready, something must have come up, and it was delayed. So while they're getting it all ready and the delay happened, some more people, extra people that weren't in the Walmart when the announcements was made, they walked in the Walmart, and they're in there shopping. Well, okay, they're shopping. They didn't hear the announcement. And so the alarm goes off, and I mean people are dropping things, leaving their carts, just running out the front door.
Oh, my.
Wow.
The rest of them that heard the report, they're going about just collecting everything that's on the shelves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, redemption has stocked the shelves of your life.
Yeah.
And made it all available.
That's good.
Right?
Yes.
Don't let alarming things that speak alarming messages tell you that I'll have to get this later because right now, this situation's in my life.
Come on.
You know what those people that ran out the front door were thinking? Not now, later.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not now, later. But how many of you know redemption is right now? So you have to learn to do what I'm talking about in the presence of alarming, opposing voices and messages. Remember the Bible says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and those enemies have a voice, and they're going to talk, and they're going to say alarming things. Are you still there? And whenever those alarming things are coming to you, there is still a table spread. There is redemption shelves are still stocked, regardless of the alarming voices.
Amen.
And you don't have to wait for the alarming voices to stop. See, if they were in there and they were getting groceries, they don't have to wait until the alarm goes off. I mean, stops.
Yeah.
The alarm stops to go about getting groceries. They could just do it while the alarm's going on. And whenever alarming symptoms show up in your body that says, not now,
no.
later.
No.
You can just keep on going about partaking of what's on the shelves of redemption, because it is right now, right now, right now. It's not a promise for the future. It's yours now.
Hallelujah.
Stand with me to your feet. That's about half of what I wanted to get out. Hallelujah. This changes prayer. I said, this changes prayer. Many things that people are saying God's promised to do, they've already been fulfilled. Well, if they're fulfilled, what is left for me to do? Just receive it. Not with your mind. Your mind will say, I don't understand this. You might have been sitting there this morning and say, I don't understand this. But your heart is on the inside of your heart saying, yes, yes. Talk this out of your heart, even when your head says, I don't understand this. This is grasped with the spirit of man.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The blessings of God that are offered us today are not promised gifts. They are offered gifts.
Yes.
They are laid up. They are already made ours.
Yes.
They're put in our account, so to speak.
Yeah.
Amen. And how do you go up to the checkout stand and check out? You just say, I see that this is mine written in the Word of God. I believe I receive it now. Thank you. And you walk out.
Amen. Yep,
it's mine.
That's mine. It's mine.
Well, don't you need to get permission from God? The one with the issue of blood didn't get permission. She snatched the healing before Jesus even knew what happened. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People that think they need to get permission from God to receive something, that's not a revelation to them that it's already theirs.
Yeah, true.
Amen. I don't need permission from you to go out and get in my car and drive off. That car's already mine. Right? Oh, God, please, can I drive home? He's going to look at me funny. How many of you know that's funny? Something's wrong. You just go out and receive what's yours.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
There's a paradigm shift that has to happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise God. You know what this does? This takes, see, a promise to, if let's take healing, because that's just one of the things we understand. If the healing is a promise, then we have to depend on God to fulfill that promise until it happens. So the responsibility is on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Already given shifts the responsibility to us.
Yes.
Us receiving.
Yep.
Amen. And to be honest with you, that has to become a reality as well.
Yes.
Praise God. When are you going to be healed? When are you going to be victorious?
Already.
When are you going to have peace? You already do. Already do. Already do. Already do. Praise the Lord.